So tonight we are going to dive in and learn about the book of Hosea. But before we start, I want to thank God and Pastor Jack for giving me the opportunity to be up here to share God's word. Amen. How many of us know that God's word is powerful? Amen. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we love you tonight. We're grateful for everyone who has showed up. Holy Spirit, we pray that you work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we're all on different paths, different levels. In our walk, Lord, we pray that you continue to guide us and have your way in our lives, mold us and shape us. And I pray that we would continue to renew our minds, Lord, and to you know, change our hearts, that we would, you know, that we would bear fruit, Lord, and that we would tell others about Jesus, stand on the mountaintops and tell people about you. And then, you know, like you said, to create disciples. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for our church, for our pastors, for all the leadership, for the dream team, Lord, and for everybody that sets foot through here. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The book of Hosea. How many of us have read the book of Hosea? Just me? No. 2, 4, 5, 6. So a few. I've read it before, but it wasn't until the tag team. it wasn't up until this past week that I actually reflected on its message, you know, critically and thoughtfully. You know, when we read the Word of God, we're to sit there and ponder, to be still, and let it. You know, we're supposed to be like a sponge and soak it up. Amen. So we're gonna start with and this is the only one that I have a slide for, and I am gonna share a lot of scriptures with you tonight. So if you're taking notes, be ready. Hosea 1:2-3. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Amen. Now, Brother Hosea, this brother, he might hold the title of having one of the most unique and difficult callings of all Scripture. Instructed by God to minister to a confused and unfaithful people in a state of moral decline, Hosea was also told to marry a prostitute and remain faithful to her in marriage, even while she continued in her line of work. I remember reading that and thinking about it. That's a big ask, amen? How many of us have ever suffered betrayal at the hands of somebody that you love with all of your heart? I have. It's not a good feeling, huh? Amen. How many of us tonight have ever betrayed someone, especially someone that we love? I have. It's a horrible feeling when your name is used in the same sentence along with the word of betrayal. I say this from experience because I too have betrayed. I have betrayed my family. I have betrayed friends. I have betrayed myself. But most of all, I have betrayed God. Amen. We all have, we all have sinned. So I don't want you guys to think I have arrived, because no, on the contrary, I lean on God every day because I know how weak I am. Amen. So it's safe to say that all of us have at some point betrayed and failed terribly in being faithful to God. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. The book of Hosea in the Bible tells the story of the prophet Hosea, who uses the metaphor of his unfaithful wife Gomer to represent the Israelites' unfaithfulness to God, depicting their idol worship as spiritual adultery. And despite their betrayal, God's love for his people remains steadfast, and he promises to restore them through judgment and eventual forgiveness, highlighting themes of God's enduring love and covenant faithfulness, even when faced with human sin and rebellion. It's like that devotional that I read. That's why I wanted to read it, because God is always, you know, he pursues you. He pursues the one sheep, that one sheep. The Bible says that he's married to the backslider. So that's how much he loves you in spite of what we've done or what we're doing. Now, the life of Hosea serves as an illustration of God's faithfulness and endless love for his people amid their unfaithfulness. So today there is lessons to be learned from the book of Hosea that should challenge and encourage believers in their relationship with God. Amen. Lesson one. Sin leads to confusion, forgetfulness, and destruction. Among Hosea's many themes, the prophet warned for nearly 40 years. Let me say that again. 40 years that the people of Israel were in a state of spiritual decline that would only lead to destruction. Sadly, the people had become blind to the reality of their own demise. Hosea 4:1 reads, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." Amen. I'm going to read that last part again, because that one kind of hit me hard. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. Then 40 years also hit me, because I was never serving the Lord, and I got married at 40, and I want to thank my, you know, Jason and Marisol invited me and my wife to come here, and that's when my life changed, when I finally surrendered fully to the Lord. So when I heard that 40, I was like, wow. It was like a slap, like the Bible reached out. So I felt that. Hosea writes in 4:6, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." Now I don't have kids. How many have kids here? Do y'all willfully ignore your children? I mean, if don't say yes. I know sometimes you have to. My mom ignored me a lot, but then again, I was a horrendous kid, so I probably deserve that. But he says that I will also ignore your children. That's a tough read there. Hosea 4:11 reads, "Prostitution, old wine and new wine take away their understanding." Amen. It says that sin leads to confusion, forgetfulness, and destruction. So 4:11, wine will take away their understanding. Hosea 4:14 says, I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin." Amen. So not only had the people walked away from God, but they had also forgotten him entirely. They had forgotten his faithfulness. They had forgotten his many miracles and how good he had been to them throughout their relationship. They had forgotten his law and instructions, and once separated from God and the knowledge of their first love, they quickly turned to their own ways, other gods, and other nations, which they soon discover could not satisfy or save them. Amen. You know, sometimes I've seen couples, and I've done this myself, and they'll be arguing. And I grew up in a kind of a bad part of town, and they'll argue, and the arguing is so intense and so fierce, and I'm on the outside looking in, and sometimes I'll see how the couples will serve one another, and in the midst, in the heat of the argument, it's like they forget all about what the one did for the other. In the heat of that argument, I see them, and I'm amazed at what people will do to one another in their anger. Amen? So they had forgotten everything that the Lord had done for them. Hosea 7:16 reads, "They do not turn to the Most High. They are like a faulty bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword because of their insolent words. For this, they will be ridiculed in the land of Egypt." Hosea 8:4 reads, "They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction." How many know we're not supposed to have idols in this, in our lives? The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He wants all of you, period. He wants your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. No matter whether you're in a valley or in a mountaintop, he wants you to run to him. And I've learned that the hard way. But now I do. I run to him no matter how it is. I look at the Psalms, and I'll see how David cried out to him and yelled and cried and sang. And that's a beautiful example of how we're to approach the Lord in everything. We shouldn't try to do it first ourselves. No, in everything we should go to him first for wisdom, for guidance, for direction. The Bible says that, he will make the crooked places straight. And he will provide us the direction. He's a lamp to our feet. Amen. Israel's sin had left them blind and confused, trapped in a cycle of sin. Worst of all, sin had caused them to forget their God and the knowledge of his love. As Hosea writes in 5:4, their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read that again. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Amen. I remember in the thick of my sin, I was on drugs and alcohol. It wouldn't permit me to come to God. Amen. It was hard. I was bound by it. I was in chains, and it was hard. I was focused on the wrong thing, my own sin. Lesson two, personal and private sin does not stay personal or private for very long. Amen. I posted something earlier that this made me think about. It says, the sin has to be exposed before it can be corrected. Without correction, there's no restoration. Amen. Hosea's ministry took place against the backdrop of the northern kingdom of Jeroboam II's reign in the 8th century B.C. His personal experiences, particularly his troubled marriage to Gomer, deeply paralleled Israel's unfaithfulness to God, marked by rampant idolatry and social injustices. Now, while God used prophets like Hosea to minister to the people of Israel in the north, the people of the southern kingdom were not immune to idolatry and betrayal either. However, where Judah was known to go through seasons of revival, the northern kingdom's spiritual sickness had spread far quicker than their southern neighbors. For this reason, God spoke through Hosea to warn Israel to repent, lest their sin destroy them and grow to infect their brothers to the south, which it inevitably did. That's in Hosea 4:15 and Hosea 8:14. Amen. It says it infected their brothers to the south. How many of you have had an infection of some kind? And you know, it's an ugly thing, right? You know, a cut can get infected. You know, if you stub your toe, you don't take care of it, it can get infected. And you know, some of the most dangerous infections are like ear infections. I remember I had one time, and I didn't think anything. I'm not a doctor, mind you, so I just know my ear hurt. Hey, doctor, help me out. And when he found out I had an ear infection, his whole demeanor changed, and he had this sense of urgency to get me healed as fast as possible. And he prescribed all these medications, ear drops, I think they're antibiotics. I mean, like it was a host of them. And I'm like, man, why do you have me? That's a lot of pills. You know, drops every 3 times a day, 2 drops, 3 times. Like, I said, are you crazy? He told me something I didn't know. Again, I'm not a doctor. He said that infections near the ear are close to your brain, and that if you don't take care of the infection and it spreads, guess where it's going to spread to? Your brain. And it'll kill you. I was like, give me them drops. Give me all the pills. But you know, that reminded me when he was talking about infect their brothers to the south. You know, that reminded me of that, of how an infection can spread. Amen? So what is the takeaway from Hosea's warning regarding Judah? Hosea repeats it throughout his book. It says, hidden sin does not stay hidden forever. And the sin we think we can cover up will eventually be exposed. Amen. I've been at the head of that line. Sin that festers on the inside smells on the outside. Amen. Whatever's inside will come out. You know what I'm saying? It's the spiritual fact. The things we do in secret often hurt those closest to us, including God. Amen. Hosea's marriage was the illustration of this. Gomer's adultery hurt more than just Gomer. It broke Hosea's heart as well. The same is true of God, who sees and feels the things that we do in secret. You know, God is everywhere. You can't hide anything from him. You know? I'm not saying that we sin intentionally, you know, but when you one of them moments where you have road rage or you're just mad at somebody and want to smack them, you know what I mean? The Lord is there. He sees you. And not only that, when you get mad at somebody, he loves that person as, you know, equally, the same way he loves you. And both of you are made in his image. So, you know, we got to honor one another. We got to love one another. Amen. So it broke his heart as well. The same is true of God, who sees and feels the things that we do in secret. Hosea 7:2 reads, but they do not realize that I remember all their evil deeds. Their sins engulf them. They are always before me. Hosea writes in 2:10, so now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. We also find in Luke 8:17, the word of God reads, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Amen. All right. Lesson 3. God is faithful even when we are not. Amen. Hosea 11:9 says, I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again, for I am God and not a man. I'm going to read that again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. When I read that, I was like, man, the Lord is merciful. You know, I think about some of the things that I've done, and I'm like, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't be here. But because, you know, I was one of the one that separated away from the 99, you know, he pursued me, and he prevented that from happening. Because just like each and every one of you here, he's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan, and he wants to fulfill that. He doesn't want you to just go to waste, amen, or to die. Throughout the Old Testament, God uses the prophets to warn the people of their sin and infidelity. But with Hosea, he decided to take a more personal approach, conveying his anger and personal heartbreak in terms they might understand. Amen? Now, this is one of the questions. You can raise your hand or not. How many would jump into a marriage knowing their spouse would regularly cheat on them? Not a hand in the air. It's a personal term. You understand that, right? How many would choose to remain? Once you found out, let's say you got married and you found out, oh man, my significant other cheats. How many of you would choose to remain in such a one-sided, adulterous relationship? I got one. Sister Faithful. But that's the whole point. You know what I mean? Who would want to be God or even have the strength or will to remain faithful to such an unfaithful bride as Israel? That is who God proved himself to be time and again. Amen. Gracious when it was undeserved. Faithful when his bride was unfaithful. And loving when his love was not reciprocated. Amen. This illustration was both powerful and purposeful, made relatable through Hosea's personal experience. But as Israel, like Gomer, had proven themselves unfaithful, God, like Hosea, would demonstrate his love for his bride by remaining faithful even when she was not. That's powerful. The faithfulness of God is... it's incredible. I can't understand it sometimes. You know, it's hard to wrap my head around it, but I just submit now. I'm like, hey, I'm glad that you love me. I'm glad that you pursued me. I'm glad that it's a privilege to serve you. I want to serve you. It's not like I get up in the morning, oh, where's my Bible? No. I look forward to it. When I pray and read my word, my day goes, I don't want to say it's not full of his challenges, but he's there with me in the midst of those challenges. The Holy Spirit is there to provide comfort, wisdom, guidance, and, you know, a host of tools for me to get through that challenge. Amen. Lesson 4. Only God can redeem and restore. Amen. Only God can redeem and restore. Like Hosea, God was willing to go to extreme lengths to buy back his bride. Read Hosea 3 if you want to learn about that. We see this throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. God chases after his runaway bride and is eager to restore and even renew their relationship. In gospel terms, the good shepherd searches for his lost sheep. That devotional we read at the beginning. This was God's message to Israel, which Hosea communicated beautifully. And it is the driving theme of all scripture fulfilled through Christ's redeeming work on the cross. Amen. How many of you are grateful for the cross? I am. At times, however, many of us are too stubborn, too afraid, or too prideful to admit when we need help. But the truth is, we all need rescuing, amen? And that is an eternally good thing when we know who is coming to our rescue. Despite Israel's spiritual adultery, God's invitation was clear. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. That's in Hosea 12:6. For not only will God receive his lost bride when she returns, Hosea writes, I will heal her apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Amen. And that would be in Hosea 2:19 through 20, Hosea 14:12, and Hosea 14:4. I might finish a little early. So, lesson 5. God is committed to the good of his people. How many of us know that God loves us? Amen. Hosea's calling was not for the faint of heart. I'm going to say that again because just reading the beginning of chapter 1 was, I was like, well, I don't know if I could do that. Hosea's calling was not for the faint of heart. But then again, no calling in the service of the King of Kings is. Amen. Jesus made the cost of discipleship quite clear, warning his disciples and would-be followers, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's in Matthew 16:24. And that's something that we spoke about 2 weeks ago when I was up here, and we covered the cost of discipleship. Amen? I'm going to read that again. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, I looked up, I didn't know any, I mean, I know cross, but when I think cross, I think a little pretty gold cross you wear around your neck. But that cross was made out of wood, and it weighed approximately 300 pounds. How many of y'all know what? How many have lifted up 300 pounds just in dead weight? 100 pounds in dead weight is 50 to 100 is tough enough, but 300? That's heavy. And yet, as the Apostle Paul later wrote, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We are called. He loves us. We are called according to his purpose. Amen. You know, I would always wonder, you know, what my purpose was. And I talk a lot with Pastor Wooten, and you know, at one point I finally understood and learned that, you know, the will of God for my life is in the Word of God. You know, he'll open up your eyes. He gives you, you know, a light to your path. Takes off the, you know, when you're blind, those things that were called that Paul had. I can't remember. The scales from his eyes. Amen. Israel would learn through years of trial, failure, and eventual captivity and exile that there is no satisfaction from God, separate from God, and no love that can compare to the unshakable love God has for his people. Romans 8:38 through 39. Hosea was loyal to his God as he was to his wife because he understood something about the heart of God. God is faithful. God is good. God is loving, and God is just. Amen. And if God is faithful, good, loving, and just, his plans for us are the same. Even when they don't make sense, aren't fun, or aren't easy. Amen. Hosea 14:9, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Amen. In God's love, he chased after his people. And in God's love, he disciplined his people to steer them away from the things that brought them harm, back into his loving arms. That is the same God we serve today. And his love remains the same. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You know, as I was reading this book, I had to look inwardly, and you know, because we're to think and to ponder, to think thoughtfully, to reflect deeply and thoughtfully about who we are and who we serve, understanding our authority. And so I was asking myself questions. What kind of Christian are you? Have you ever sat down and asked yourself that? I have, because of a history of betrayal. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian with your heart and mind in the world and your feet in the church? Are you the kind that seeks to do God's will, or are you the kind that seeks to do God's will as revealed in Scripture? Whichever one you are, the Bible tells you to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Amen. Have you done that? Examined yourself? Have you examined your beliefs, your actions, and your motives, and compared them to Scripture to see what kind of Christian you are? Are you submitting your life to God, or God in your life? Mind you, I'm asking myself this. But if you want to ponder on those things, go ahead. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." I failed a lot of tests. I've passed a few. But I believe serving the Lord is the most important one. So this is an important one. No one should simply take it for granted that he is saved because he is born into a Christian family, or is a good person, or is sincere in heart and mind, or thinks that God is so loving that he'll let everyone into heaven. These things do not make anyone a Christian, nor do they guarantee anything with God. Only faith in Christ, that's Romans 5:1. Trusting in him alone for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 4:12. And receiving him, John 1:12. Receiving him is what being born again is all about. It means to be changed from the inside because the Lord has changed you, saved you, and the Holy Spirit is now in you. Amen. What kind of Christian are you? Are you one on the outside, but not on the inside? Are you a social Christian? Do you claim the name, but not the heart of Christianity? Are you a person who knows he or she is saved because of the work of Christ on the cross, and do you trust in him alone? Or do you think that with your sincerity and good works in cooperation with God's grace will get you to heaven? Are you the kind of person who believes in God yet walks into sin knowingly and painfully? I put that on there because that's what I used to do. Walk into sin knowingly, painfully. When I sinned and betrayed God, he still lovingly pursued me. Why? Because he loved me. Because he loves us. Amen. His Holy Spirit called me to repentance and commitment. Repentance means to turn away, repentance means to turn from that which is unholy to that which is holy. It means to turn away from sin and move towards God. Amen. The word of God reads in James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. It says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God is not where our sin is. He is not where rebellion to his word is. He is not in the world that seeks to use the church as a social instrument, nor with the Christian who wants to change the church and make it more tolerant to sin. He is not in the hearts of the cold who do not take his word seriously, but instead give casual regard to it only when it agrees with their feelings and wants. We're never guaranteed that serving the Lord was going to be easy. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Repentance begins when we realize that our hearts are not in accord with God, and we willingly submit to God, and we willingly submit our will to God's will as it is revealed in the Bible. We discover our need to do this when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus. We discover this when we compare ourselves to the Word of God. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The will of God for our lives is in the Word of God for our lives. Amen. After repentance comes commitment. You know, and I see now why when Jason said, you're going to read the book of Hosea. God is my witness. Right after that, I just heard in my spirit the word commitment. Not only to commit to read to this book, but to commit to my God, to my Savior, to the one who gave me breath, to the one who created the universe, to the one who hung the earth on nothing. That still blows my mind. And we're just floating in the middle of space. If that right there doesn't tell you that there is a higher power, man, I don't know what does. The galaxy and how many millions of miles it is away, they have to calculate it in light years. I don't even know what that means. That's crazy. And then there's more galaxies outside of the one we're in. That's mind-blowing to me. After repentance comes commitment. Commitment to God and his word should be the heart of every Christian. Amen. After all, Jesus said in John 10:27-28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. You know, when I read that, it you know, there's a lot of scriptures that I've read, and some I've bawled on, some a tear come out, but I know that as long as I serve the Lord, as long as I commit to him and submit and surrender, it says no one will snatch me out of his hand. That's powerful. As long as I'm walking in his will according to what he wants from me and in my life, can't nobody take me away from him. Amen. And that is, they followed what Jesus says and do what he does. So I ask you again tonight, what kind of Christian are you? If you would stand up with me and we're going to pray. I'm grateful for my salvation, for this church, for the pastors, the leaders. I was a wretch, a vile wretch of a man, and he saved me. I tell people I used to sit over there drunk and high for months. And I used to shoot cocaine, snort it if my arms got sore, smoke it when my nose got raw. And then one day I asked him, I said, you know, they talk about this, you know, you're a miracle working God, you know, and I need help.